there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
This podcast is scheduled for 10 questions. Fighting out of New York, standing at 5 feet 11 inches tall, and wearing the red, white, and blue trunks, presenting Kyle Brandt!
Thank you, Bruce. This is going to be a good one. I'm in a great mood today. I already know the contestants in a great mood. Let's get right to the action here. This is 10 questions. You already know this. We're already done with two seasons. Everybody gets 10 questions. They have something to do with their life. If you get it right, you get a point. If you don't, you get zero. And everybody here leaves with a score. Before we get to today's very excited contestant, I want to make sure he or she has the proper context for what they're walking into. Let's give them a little taste of some prior contestants. Maybe they'll recognize some of them and what their final score was from 0 to 10. Give me a little roll call.
Hello, I'm Brett Favre, and I got 7 out of 10.
Hey, I'm Sarah Chalk, and I got a 7 out of 10.
Hi, I'm Patton Oswalt, and I got an 8 out of 10.
I am Scott Stapp. I got a 6 out of 10. Peace and rock on, my friends. Beat that!
What a crew! What a crew. You heard a legendary quarterback. You heard the guy from Creed. You heard a beloved sitcom actress. Let's add to that my intro music, please. Today's contestants, big Tom Petty guy. Big Tom Petty guy. You know him, of course. He's done a lot of things. You remember him best of all as the guy who played Gut in the 1983 physical screwball comedy called Spring Break. He also played a character, I can't make this up. He played a character called Donut Jerk in RoboCop 3, the third one. Yes. And he is in this show called The Goldbergs Wednesdays on ABC. He's an old buddy. His name is Jeff Garland. Welcome to 10 Questions.
An honor to be here, Kyle. An honor to be anywhere with you. I was just saying off the air how fond I am of you, and I have great respect for you. And I love Good Morning Football. I watch it in my trailer at Curb all the time. And I just can't say enough, and I can't wait to come back on. But I'm here with you for 10 questions. And by the way, Patton Oswalt, if he got 8, I'm guessing I'm going to do a 6.
You're going for 6? Get Oswalt?
Patton's much more aware of what he's done, and he's much smarter than I am. Patton's much smarter than I am.
Patton was sharp as a tack on this show. Really, really good. Jeff, setting his standards a little bit low with the 6, but Jeff, here's the thing. I want to know going into this, if you get, you're going to hear some sounds. I'm going to ask you all these weird questions. If you get the answer right, you're going to hear a sound that sounds a lot like this.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Oh, that's like a game showy bell. Yes. Good.
However, Jeff, in the unlikely situation in which you whiff on a question and get it wrong, I'm sorry to tell you, you have to hear this.
That's okay. Not bad. That was a good riff.
But here's the best part.
Yes.
If at some point you're totally stumped, and these questions will be strange, you have a lifeline that you can use one time in the 10 questions, Jeff, and your lifeline is called Ask a Millennial. We have a real 26-year-old millennial child in another Zoom window, and you can call him in, and he will help you. His name is Richie, okay?
Okay. I love it. Okay.
All right. So Jeff is fired up as any contestant we've ever had. Let's light this candle. 10 questions with Jeff Garland. Here we go. Question 1. Your first category is 80s sports. 80s sports, okay? Jeff, in Super Bowl 20, the Bears defeated the Patriots 46-10.
Yes.
Which defensive starter scored a touchdown for the Bears?
Oh, so I'm getting this now. It's easy at first. It's William Perry, the refrigerator.
He says William Perry without even a shade of doubt. Let's hope it wasn't Mama's boy Otis Wilson or Wilbur Marshall. Was it William Perry? We got one, Jeff.
William Perry scored in the champion. I mean, not William Perry. Wilbur Marshall scored in the championship game. And I can watch him run slow motion in the snow against the Rams, getting an interception and scoring so many times.
Oh, it was the best. Eric Dickerson couldn't get out of the backfield that day. Jeff, it goes without saying, born in Chicagoland, huge, huge Bears fan. People want to know.
Season tickets, I guess.
Season tickets. All right, so perfect. Have you purchased your Andy Dalton jersey yet?
Actually, I purchased it and donated it to charity.
Already? Right off the
bat? Yeah, because I know I'm not going to wear it, and I thought someone should have a nice shirt to wear or a jersey to wear.
Jeff, never mind the 80s. Bears fans, if they're good at one thing, it's talking a lot about 1985. Yeah. What is it like for someone who's around the country listening to this, who's never from Chicago, never been there? What is it like to be a Chicago Bears fan?
It's heartbreak, as any team you're passionate about. But the thing I want to get across to people that they, you know, every town, like, for example, L.A., they love the Dodgers, you know, whatever. It's a Lakers town. Chicago, in spite of the Bulls, in spite of the Cubs, the White Sox, the Blackhawks, you can put all those together and they're still not as popular as the Bears. Chicago lives and dies by the Chicago Bears. So to be part of something like that, I live and die with it. I do. I remember the last time that I actually felt deep, deep pain was the Fog Bowl versus the Eagles.
Sure.
Prior to that, the Bears winning and losing would literally just devastate me or elate me. Now I'm more even keeled as I've gotten older. It still bugs the crap out of me, the current situation, not happy with. But that being said, man, do I love the Bears.
I do too. The Fog Bowl, I remember well, but more recently, Jeff, how about in the 2018 playoffs, Bears versus Eagles, the double doink field goal? Send you on the floor?
No. I didn't expect us to be there, number one. Okay. Number two, I thought he was going to doink it. I didn't think he was going to make
it. You thought he was going to miss Cody Parkey?
Well, at that point, what else would you think? I mean, that was the whole season. And so, look, I am not big on the Bears making the playoffs. I'm big on the Bears going far into the playoffs. Yeah. And they're not built for anything but a last playoff spot. Mm.
Jeff, you have these decades of fanhood. Is there an all-time Bear, not that you love, is there an all-time Bear that just drove you crazy on Sundays, that just make you want to pull your hair out?
Actually, no.
No?
How much I love the Bears, no.
Not even Cutler? No. Cutler drove me up the wall, man.
No, because I needed him to do well, so yeah. I was rooting for him.
But you already gave the Andy Dalton jersey to charity. That's gone. You can't get it back.
Well, I suppose I could go back in the store and buy it for a quarter or whatever they're selling it for. But yeah, no. By the way, Andy Dalton is a fine quarterback.
Yes.
But do you want your passion and your favorite team to have a fine quarterback?
No.
I don't. And so, I mean, he's getting a lot of guff because people are acting like he stinks. He's going to be good. He's not going to be very good.
No.
He's going to be good. He will. He's competent, you know. And when he was younger, he was very good. But no.
How do you feel as a diehard old school Bears fan watching the national media just swoon over the Packers quarterback hosting Jeopardy?
Well, why wouldn't they? He's excellent at it, and he's very Aaron Rodgers. You know, as a Bears fan, you just have to nod your head and go, "Hey, he's Aaron Rodgers."
I know.
You know, he's just Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, I hope that he becomes the permanent host of Jeopardy so he's a little bit distracted.
It's true.
Anything helps, man. Anything helps.
Host Jeopardy, host Price is Right, host them all. Just don't host an ass-kicking of the Bears twice a year like you seem to do.
That he seems to do, man.
Wow.
First contestant ever on this show, Jeff. By the way, Aaron Rodgers got a 6 out of 10 on this. You already have a 1 out of 1. So you can catch Rodgers and we can have a little moral victory. As we go to question 2,
okay.
Jeff Garland, hot out of the gates at 1 out of 1. Here you go, Jeff. Your question, your category for question number 2, pro wrestling. Okay? Pro wrestling. Jeff Garland, what wrestling superstar, a 4-time champion, declined to perform on Yom Kippur?
Goldberg, Bill Goldberg. That's the only thing I can guess, but I don't even know if he's Jewish.
He says Bill Goldberg. I remember the heyday of Goldberg. Who's next? Could Jeff Garland possibly have a 2 out of 2 with Goldberg? Jeff.
Wow. Yes. And you know what's funny, Bill? Yes. I know Bill. He's done. He's worked on the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
He's the best guy. Best guy. I love Bill. He's great. But I can tell you that. I wrestled on Mad About You. What the heck? What was the guy with the cowboy hat and the sunglasses?
The Honky Tonk Man?
No, way more famous. He used to do the commercials for the Chews.
Oh, Macho Man. Macho Man, Randy Savage.
I wrestled Randy Savage.
You did?
Yes. Well, acting on Mad About You. I was this gorilla character I was a character on Mad About You, and my character decided to be a pro wrestler, and I wrestled the Macho Man. I've wrestled the Macho Man. That's okay. All I'm saying.
This is why you're the best, Jeff.
You know who also saved me? It's in my stand-up special on Netflix. I was once being chased by a guy in a nightclub at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
King Kong Bundy saved me. I swear to God, these are both true. So those are my professional wrestling, like, exciting things.
All right. See, a lot of times with contestants, you have to pull the anecdotes out. With you, Jeff, the fish are jumping into the boat. Let's just go one at a time.
That's why I'm here. I'm built for this, and I dig you. That combo platter is beautiful.
Thank you. Why was someone chasing you in the nightclub, and what did King Kong Bundy do?
Well, by the way, they were chasing me. I mean, the story's in my special. Please watch it.
Sure.
You have to, on Netflix, they give you a week of promotion, and that's it.
That's it. You're out.
So I was on stage. I can't tell the whole story, but basically, this is no exaggeration, and no, I don't know why to this day, a guy was screaming, "I'm going to kill you," ran towards the stage. I heard him first. I turned. He's coming at me with a giant rubber penis the size of a baseball bat,
sure,
swinging it like Thor. Remember, it's filled with drunks at 4 a.m. on a late Saturday. No, a Sunday night, not even a Saturday night. And so as I'm running around the bar, this big bald man grabbed the guy and threw him in the street. And he said, "Are you okay? My name's Chris, but you may know me as King Kong Bundy."
That's it. Oh, my God.
He said,
he grabbed the giant rubber penis man and threw him in the street?
Threw him in the street, threw him out of the club, and then walked me to my car when my show was over.
What a gentleman. A badass a gentleman.
Yes, the best.
Okay, so then you worked with the Macho Man, the may he rest in peace, Randy Poffo, legend. Yeah. What was that experience like? What was he like to work with?
A delightful guy who talked like this. We're going to get him. He was just also, you know, what's key about these people, all the great people you meet.
Yeah.
I always say this to my children, and this is about athletes that I meet and people in my business and the wrestlers. Take what you do seriously, but don't take yourself seriously. Why do you laugh at that every time? I'm looking at my girlfriend who just burst out laughing like I'm full of shit.
You're funny.
Yeah. But the point being is that, I feel like Randy Savage, for example, just lovely and accessible, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what the hell, you know, it doesn't take himself seriously, but he worked really hard when we did the show.
See, I didn't know you had these anecdotes. The point of asking you about Bill Goldberg was to ask you about the Goldbergs Wednesdays on ABC.
Jeff,
here's my take. I've seen all of Cobra Kai. I've seen all of Stranger Things. Nobody nails the 80s nostalgia and comedy as well as the Goldbergs do. I really mean that. It takes me right back. Why do you love working on the show so much?
You're assuming I love working on the show so much.
Jeff, Do you love working on this show?
I love everyone I work with. Leave it that way.
Okay. That's good. All right. Yeah, so
No. Here's the thing. My sensibility is more Curb Your Enthusiasm, South Park. I get why people dig the Goldbergs, but not very often does it cross into my sensibility. That being said, people love the show and I'm very proud to be on it. And I love the people I work with.
Mm-hmm. So I like watching the show too.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot of people. It's very comforting.
Yes. Yeah. It hit the right time.
Yeah.
Almost as comforting as the giant rubber penis story getting saved by the legend. I mean, Jeff, that's a great story. Holy shit, I wish there was video.
Well, I got a million of them.
I know you do. And we're going to get to them. You are 2 out of 2. Question number 3. Jeff, this category is Name the Movie. I'm going to play you a clip from a popular motion picture. All you have to do is say the name of the movie, and you get a blistering 3 out of 3. Are you ready?
Yes.
Listen closely, Jeff, and name this movie.
And your wallet.
Nick, give him your wallet.
What for?
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Well, by the way, Crocodile Dundee.
That's right. He's 3 out of 3. That's a knife. That's what you're saying to Aaron Rodgers
now. When it started out with give me the wallet and the lady being a little confused, I was like, oh, I don't know this. What is this? And then once you hear the dude, you're like, oh, it's Crocodile Dundee.
Paul Hogan, the immortal Subaru Outback driver. You're 3 for 3, Jeff.
Yes, yes.
The reason I'm playing you Crocodile Dundee, I needed some connective tissue to this. Susie Essman is in Crocodile Dundee 2.
She is. Crocodile Dundee 2 used a handful of New York comedians.
Yes.
Colin Quinn is in it. Mm-hmm. A few other people. Yes, yes, yes.
Some great actors in that movie, as well as Susie, of course. That brings us to Curb. What is the current state of Curb? You guys are in production. You're shooting out. Tell us.
I'm filming right now. We have 3 more weeks left. And we'll have a season that'll probably come out, I'm guessing, in the fall.
So you've been shooting L.A., New York, both?
All L.A.
How many weeks have you shot?
We've shot 7 out of 10 episodes.
How's it going?
7.5. Pretty gosh darn great. Pretty great. I think I love it. Last year was my favorite season, last season. With Mocha Joe and Larry.
Latte Larry.
But this is pretty gosh darn great. I'm pretty happy with it. I laugh every day. Larry and I laugh as we work every day. But if you throw in how funny the show is and things that are happening, it's killing me. And no, I can't tell you any specifics about the season. Out of respect to my mentor, my boss, one of my best friends, Larry David, I have to respect him.
All right.
Not that I would. If it was my show, I wouldn't tell you.
Well, I'm going to fish anyway. You're going to respect me too, Jeff. So here's what I want to know. Yes. When this whole thing came out, when the pandemic started and everyone's at home and there's quarantine and the social distancing and masks, I remember thinking like, we need Larry and Jeff. I need to know what their takes are on staying away from people, on the vaccine, on everything.
Well, by the way, I want to say
that
except for the first episode, we don't do any COVID stuff.
Really?
The first episode, it touches on, there's a couple of things. But we do not, it's a post-COVID world in Curb, which, you know, I spoke of how much I love South Park.
Yeah.
South Park had the first COVID issue they did. So well written, so well done. I didn't laugh once. People don't want to watch, you know, they don't want to watch COVID stories. We've got our own COVID stories. Get them away from me.
See, because I know you're a producer on the show too. Is there a meeting at some point where you're sitting in a room and you're like, guys, what should we do with COVID? Or maybe should we do nothing?
It doesn't work that way. Everything is based on what Larry wants to write. And then he writes it. And I would have, yes, probably disagreed with him if he had a lot of COVID stuff, I would say. And we have so much respect. He would have, I'm not going to say listened, but he would have taken that seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, the way the show works creatively, usually, except this year, I'm not that involved in the casting process. Usually when someone comes into audition, I'm the first face they see. But this, you know, this year, like every year, we shoot a scene and then Jeff Schaefer, myself, and Larry discuss it. And that's how it goes every time. Yeah.
You mentioned that last season was your favorite season. Looking all the way back, Jeff, do you have an all-time favorite storyline in Curb?
No. I mean, yes, the Mocha Joe one, the coffee.
Really?
Well, when he first told me it, my reaction was everybody has that feeling when they're screwed over by their mom and pop store. And it's like, and then you get this feeling with Amazon too, don't get me wrong. But it's like, if I could only fuck you, if I could only screw you over.
Right.
And then to see an empty space next door and have the money and the wherewithal to do that, forget about it. I mean, that's my favorite storyline by a country mile. My favorite episode is called Wandering Bear.
Okay.
It's where Larry and I are watching Girls Gone Wild. My dog gets run over and Sherry's gardener, who's Wandering Bear, is trying to help heal her vagina.
Now, why that of all things?
Well, she has trouble and he has a way to fix it. He's not successful in the end, but nonetheless.
You talk about it, you and Larry laugh all day. Is that one of those times you guys are just sitting there with the bear and just laughing your asses off on set?
No. We laugh every day. And we don't laugh. We sometimes laugh about, all right, I'll give you an example of last season, he and I laughing. It's where there was the ugly section in the restaurant.
Amazing storyline.
Okay.
Amazing.
So we're finally at the last episode, sitting in, or second to last episode, or the end of that episode, sitting in the good-looking section. And he's still denying it. You know, what's his name who played the maitre d'? I'll think of it in a second. Anyhow, when a guy has a heart attack and the maitre d' comes running out going, please someone help. Is there a doctor in the house? There's someone having a heart attack in the ugly section. So he says it. And Larry and I weren't prepared to have him hear it. Like, we knew it was coming, but him actually saying it, Larry and I were laughing till we were crying.
And that was Nick Kroll, I think, is the major deal, wasn't it?
Yes. Nick Kroll. Yes.
Oh,
Nick Kroll.
So good. And then Cheryl's in the attractive section. So good. And taps into something we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, Nick Kroll was just so great in
Perfect.
That role.
Perfectly condescending, ugly. So good. All right. Question number four. You are 3-for-3, pitching a perfect game, really, at this point. Your category is nicknames, Jeff. Nicknames. What U.S. city is known as the Charm City?
Baltimore.
It's not only that Jeff is answering them all, he's answering them very quickly. Like, this is a 3-strikes-and-you're-out type deal. No balls, no foul balls. Is it Baltimore, the Charm City? Yes! 4 out of bleeping 4. How do you feel?
And guess what? One of the only cities in the United States of America that I have not performed in, Baltimore.
Why?
Just haven't.
They haven't done it?
I'm not avoiding it.
You just haven't been to the Charm City.
Here's how long I've thought about that. Think about it. I'm a big Colts fan.
Okay.
No. In terms of Baltimore Colts.
Sure.
I am. And actually, one of my best friends is from Baltimore. I'll play there at some point.
Well, I ask because we're talking about nicknames of cities. And you, of course, and I are from a city known as Second City, Chicago, Illinois.
Yes, the Second City and the Windy City.
That's right. Jeff, if I were to go back to way back in the 80s and you are at Second City working the box office with Stephen Colbert,
what would
I have seen from you two young crazy kids?
Well, first off, I didn't know he was funny because he looks very studious, you know, and so he appeared in the box office, but we didn't.
we would, like, he would, I would look over it. I entertained myself in the box office in terms of the phone rang off the hook.
Yes.
So I would answer the phone. And if somebody was an asshole, I would tell them if they really, if there were tickets, I wasn't going to turn them away if there were tickets available to a show. But I would tell them, I swear, this is 100% true, not exaggerated. I would tell them, oh, by the way, not only do we have tickets for that night, and this is if somebody's really rude to me, not only do we have tickets for me that night, but it's the puppet section. They're like, the puppet section. I said, yeah, during the show, marionettes, puppets, they all pop up around you. Everybody wants to be in the puppet section. So I would put P.S., next to their name, because GT meant a good seat, like good ticket on the rail. Okay. But, and then everything else just meant, well, it was all good seats, by the way, in the place, but certain ones were like on the rail. It was like good, but I would put PS, the night manager knew what it meant. And I had the book. So I knew when they were coming in and I'd sit on the side of the stage. You know, I'd sit like there's a bench there and I'd look at the people and they were looking up all around them the whole show up to the sides. They're like, oh, when do the puppets come out? And then they never come out, of course. But it was my revenge and I loved it.
That little P.S. Don't you piss me off on the phone or I'm going to put you in. You were basically the master of puppets and the
puppet section. Yes, 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 yes.
So, Jeff, when you're doing that and you're getting your jollies and your revenge, and that's great, but you're tearing tickets, you're working your way up.
Yeah.
Was it the dream? What was the dream? Because I look at you now, huge iconic show on HBO, huge show on ABC, comedy specials, all this. You're killing it. What was the dream back then for a young Jeff Garland?
My dream has always been to be my goal was to be respected by my peers. I swear to God, at 20 years old, when I started, I just thought, I want my other comedians to think I'm funny. Okay. And then the other one is that I thought I'd be as big as Eddie Murphy and stuff. So for me, I'm kind of a failure. Like I haven't hit the heights that I still can. I mean, Rodney did it later in his life. I don't know. Look, but I'm grateful and I love what I do. I love being a comedian. It means the world to me. And to be in a show that people love like the Goldbergs or a show that, I mean, I couldn't be more proud of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You couldn't be more proud, but you want to be starring in tentpole movies, Jeff Garland over the title. Is that still true?
Yeah, but that being said, what they do with movies now, I mean, what am I going to do, star in a Marvel movie? Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of movies. I'm going to keep doing indie movies that I act in. I'm about to direct my first pretty big budget movie, and that's exciting. Yeah.
Tell me, what's the movie? Tell us about it.
Nope.
No?
When I've shot it, I'll be happy to talk about it.
When it has a release Jeff, date. You gotta put the puppet section in something you do. A movie, an episode,
well,
by the
way, or something. Yes. Or something with a similar thing. But I did it probably a half a dozen times and it never wasn't hilarious. Hilarious.
Because I can see Cheryl being very enchanted that she is going to be sat in the puppet section or something of the play and then be so disappointed in the end of it. It'd be a great storyline.
Yeah.
Do that. Or George the Animal Steel. Question number five.
Yes,
your category is anatomy, Jeff. You're pitching a perfect game. This is my, I've looked forward to this question more than any maybe we've done in show history. Follow this. During a 2019 live appearance on NFL Network, you, Jeff Garland, mentioned what body part of Ted Danson's?
Oh, geez.
You're live on the NFL's network. Live. What body part of Ted Danson's did you mention?
Well, I can only guess his wiener.
He says his wiener. Is that your official guess?
Well, by the way, clearly by saying that, I've gotten it wrong. So let me think for a second longer.
I didn't say right or wrong. I just want to clarify.
Oh, yeah, right. I don't remember.
I need to know the context of what I was talking about that I could tell you. This is so random. I don't remember my interviews. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, not like I keep track of that.
We are in Grant Park. We are right by Buckingham Fountain.
It's before the opening game.
Before Bears Packers season opening.
Yep. I remember.
We start talking Curb. Yes. Nate Burleson asks you about some of your favorite co-stars. Ted Danson comes up. Which body part of Ted Danson's do you mention? I'm going to need an answer.
I'll go with Wiener.
He's going to go with Wiener. And here's the best part, Jeff. We have the clip. Play the clip of Mr. Garland on the NFL Run Network live television.
Ted Danson's my hero. I want to be like Ted Danson.
Beautiful hair on that man.
Beautiful everything.
Beautiful everything.
I've never seen his penis, but I got to tell you, I'm sure it's beautiful.
That's a great moment.
I don't doubt it at all.
Look at me! Look at me! So, by the way, Ted Danson is the favorite actor I've ever worked with. He's one of my heroes. I love him so much. He's on Curb this year, I can tell you that. And I love the guy. And I bet you he does have a perfect penis.
I don't doubt it for a second. I'm sure. And you've still never seen it.
No. Yeah, we've never had I've not gone to a health club with him yet.
All right, but we're burying the lead here. With all due respect to Mr. Danson's anatomy, Jeff, you worked with a lot of people for a lot of years. Why is he your hero?
Well, by the way, Jeff Bridges is also one of my heroes. Michael Keaton, Albert Brooks. Mm-hmm. But my favorite actors of all time are Michael Keaton, Jeff Bridges, and Ted Danson. Those are my, I can say all time, modern day.
Okay.
Like since I've been in show business. I love all three of them. Yeah.
I've cherry picked some people that you've done projects with, and I just want to run through them. Tell me what you remember, your impressions of them. You mentioned this guy already in the movie Daddy Daycare, Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy was warm, generous, and we laughed all day. I laughed with him. And I can say unequivocally, the single funniest person I ever worked with.
The funniest guy ever.
No, all right. So when you're doing a movie and something happens on the set and you're a comedian in the movie or the funny guy, you might just say it to make the crew laugh. That makes the day go by faster. Something would happen. I think I'm pretty quick. I would think of what I was going to say, which I felt was funny every time.
Yeah.
There wasn't one time that Eddie didn't say something on the same topic faster and funnier. What he said was always funnier than my choice, so I didn't throw it out there. I got no ego in the game. I was in awe of how fast and funny he is. He's the funniest person I ever worked with. Didn't know it until I worked with him. I mean, I knew he was funny and special, but he's the fastest, and I've worked with some fast fuckers.
Just raw talent. I'll give you another one. I'll give you another one of those fast fuckers. This is maybe be in the same arena of talent. Fun with Dick and Jane, Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, yes. Jim Carrey, no, different. Jim is funny. Jim is funny in terms of, not that he's not a witty guy, but Jim is funny in terms of my friend Lou Schneider, who's a director on the Goldbergs, and we've been doing stand-up our whole lives. Jim Carrey's one of those guys that when you see him do stand-up or you see him act in a certain movie, you just go, oh, I can't do that. I cannot do that. That is so different and original and funny. No, he's very special. Yeah, and a nice fella.
It seems like one of those things, like when I watch LeBron James do something, I know I can't do that. And Jim Carrey is the same type of unreachable. There's no way in a million years I could ever approach that. And you experienced that on set, too.
Yeah, but I could in a million years. If you give me a million years.
A million years, you think you could pull off Ace Ventura?
I could pull off Ace Ventura as good as him. In a million years. You give me 100,000 years, ain't going to happen.
But a million, you can talking out of your ass to Courtney Cox and Tone Loke.
Done.
All right, how about this one? You had a very small role in Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. What about Mike Myers?
Mike Myers is a wonderful comedic actor. I've always had a great relationship with him. He is
also unique and funny and wonderful. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
All right, Jeff, do you know how to do, I'm going to clean it up a little bit. Do you know how to do marry, F, kill?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I'm going to give you one. Is you have to marry one, you have to make love to one, and you have to kill one.
Okay.
Marry, F, kill. John Stewart, Conan O'Brien, Larry David. Marry, F, kill.
I would marry John Stewart.
Why?
He's the most adorable of the three.
Is he?
And I love him. And having spent so much personal time with all three people,
yeah.
I know. Okay, so Mary.
Okay.
Not going to fuck either one of them.
You have left. To. You
no,
have
I
to.
Don't.
That's the telling? Rules of the game.
No. But then I cheat.
You are you not attracted enough to Conan and Larry that you would not have sex with them?
I would not have sex. I would not even lay naked in the bed, not touching them for a good amount of money. So then there's that. And then also, why would I want to kill Larry or Conan? That'd be horrible.
You do understand the game.
But I'm marrying Jon Stewart. So I think I gave you something. But and by the way, it's not that for ladies love Larry and Conan. So I'm not going to, besmirch them in terms of making love to them. But Larry would be very happy with my answer. Let's put
I think
it
so,
way.
Too. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, there's... I
By
say
the
this-
way, when you do these questions,
yeah.
You got to have somebody that you'd want to kill and that you'd want to fuck. What the hell's wrong with you?
Disagree.
That's the rule of the game. No.
Disagree. Right. It's putting you in an uncomfortable situation. It's forcing you.
Do you want to... fuck the movie Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
Do you want to kill? No, it's just stupid.
There is a buzz in the 10 Questions Clubhouse. Everyone's okay. Texting and tweeting that Jeff Garland is 5 out of 5. And we've yes. never had a 10. We've never. You're halfway home.
Yeah.
As we go
I'm
to
not,
question six.
I'm not thinking this is the one I fuck up.
Just
go.
Stay focused. This is Jeff okay. Garland, star of The Goldbergs, Wednesday on ABC. Question yeah. number six, your category, Jeff. Who will not either kill or make love to Larry David is condiments. Condiments.
Okay, yes.
Okay, Jeff. On a bottle of Heinz ketchup, what does the 57 mean?
Is it 57? Oh, Jesus. Hold, can I go look?
No, you can't. You're 5 out of 5. You got to earn. But you do have the lifeline if you think a millennial might know this better than you. But
a
I'm
millennial
sure.
would not know that better
no,
than me.
No, it's old-fashioned.
A millennial doesn't even know what Heinz ketchup is.
It has to be organic.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I don't know why. I'll say 57, not 57 tomatoes, 57 flavors.
57 flavors. This is really tough. And the legal department of 10 questions is going to have to weigh in on this. Here's the deal.
I know it's not 57 vegetables, and I know that it's not 57 tomatoes, because it says that no matter what the bottle size is. So
the answer is the 57 stands for 57 varieties.
Oh, of tomatoes, yeah.
They well, actually, you know it's actually not even of tomatoes. Heinz originally started as a pickle company. It's 57 right. varieties of pickles. So, Jeff, I don't think you got it right. I'm going to give
no,
you. I'm going to give you a no.
Did
you did not. Woo! All right, we broke up the no-no. Are you disappointed?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, I thought you might have had 10,
I'm
too.
Not taking myself seriously, but I'm taking this game seriously, well, very seriously.
Here's why I'm asking you about ketchup, because you know that there's this site, this aggregator called Rotten Tomatoes, which judges
yes.
and everything. Jeff, I did a little thing here. I looked up Curb Your Enthusiasm on Rotten Tomatoes and say what kind of grade it got. And it's really good. It's like above 90%. Like, everybody loves Curb.
Right.
Then I thought, there's like 8% of critics who didn't have nice things to say about Curb. So
yes.
what I want to do is I want to read some negative Curb reviews,
okay.
and I want to hear your thoughts on them.
Okay.
I last did this with Tim Robbins. I read him negative reviews of The Shawshank Redemption, and it was lots of fun. So here we go. Negative
that's
Curb reviews.
High stuff.
It is, but people
Tim
love
Robbins,
Curb.
But I'm saying Shawshank Redemption, that's a beloved movie. Go ahead.
And there's still people who didn't like it, and we found them. So with Jeff Garland, a.k.a. Jeff Green, negative Curb reviews. Here comes number one.
Well, hold on. So can I say something in
yes.
terms of...
Yes.
When it's something like Shawshank Redemption, I am confused that someone doesn't like it. Comedy is very personal. So yeah. I get somebody not getting it. Their sense of humor is not there. And I get somebody not finding it funny. But go ahead.
Well, let's find out.
Okay.
Negative Curb Reviews with Jeff Garland. Number one. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Camila Long of The Times UK. She wrote, I have never got the appeal of this show. It feels like a formulaic 1990s comedy in which the only joke is Larry's anger or whatever complex acidic emotion it is that drives him to abuse everyone he's talking to. What do you think, Jeff?
I would not like to read her other reviews. No, I'm being serious because that's just way too wordy. It's not well written. How's that for my critique?
Nice.
It's not well written. It's just she's using the vocabulary she's been taught. I don't get, first off, he's not mean. I mean, look, what am I going to defend it against bad writing? No, keep going. I like this.
Okay. Negative review number two.
Yes.
This is from Joanna Schneller of the Toronto Star.
Okay.
Blasting away at political correctness isn't so funny anymore because people are educating themselves about the harm that ingrained biases do.
Okay. All right. Stop the music.
Stop the music.
It's the problem we have with political correctness and cancel culture. What it is, I'm sorry, everything is funny when it's funny. Sometimes people go on their Facebook pages and they write something and they go, I'm so funny. No, you're not. And your boss can fire you for being that ignorant. We're not ignorant. We're not even saying we wish things would go back to the old ways. But sometimes people, clearly this person, takes themselves seriously with their job. That's what I would say about this reviewer. That's
Jeff,
all.
As a longtime cast member, producer, have you had moments where you're like, wow, this could be a really funny bit or storyline, but I think it might be offensive. Let's not do it.
Not once, ever.
Not once.
No, because Larry David is funny, you know? And he's truly a brilliant showrunner, writer, brilliant mind. And so, no, things have to be pointed out. And we've had every type of person on our show, from someone who's really in a wheelchair to someone who's really transitioning to someone, but the political correctness of everything is insane. Mm-hmm. See, I'm all about personally civil rights for everyone. Civil rights. You're entitled to that. You're not entitled to not be. Now, by the way, bullying, that's bad. I am not talking about bullying. But I'm sorry, everything should be invited into the world of comedy. It has to. And sometimes people push things too far. That's all.
Do you guys as a show, like, look for ways to push that?
No, no. It's why this, and by the way, I use this. I would like to be an idealist. I'm a liberal, but I love the Lincoln Project. I love, I grew up with other points of view. And by the way, a lot of right-wing points of view I agree with, but the extremism and the partisanship makes me completely angry. So wait, what was the question? Because it ties into this.
Do you ever look for ways to go and push that envelope?
So we're on stage doing a panel and the host of the panel goes into right away, thank God you attacked Trump. Thank God, you know, it's like, hold on. That's not our purpose. Uh-huh. Our purpose is to make people laugh. And Larry wearing the hat and seeing people turned off was hilarious. Me dressing, I mean, looking like, although I don't look like him and I want to be clear, that asshole Harvey Weinstein, that's funny. Sure. Does Larry sit down and look for that? So the guy said, congratulations on getting Trump. And Larry's like, that's not why I did it. I did it because it was funny. Funny is all that matters when you're doing comedy. I don't have an agenda. I don't have a political agenda. I don't have a personal agenda. My only agenda is to respect the audience and be funny. And our audience is made up of people with lots of different viewpoints, lots of different skin colors, lots of everything.
Sure.
all welcome. And I am a firm believer in civil rights for all.
Do you ever catch, Jeff, because there's a retroactive thing that goes on too. Do you ever catch a clip from season two or season three and be like, that doesn't age well?
Nope. Because our goal, by the way, you know which ones don't age well? The ones when you're going for a political point of view. Sure. The ones when you're going to make a social statement. No, it's called Larry David sits at his desk when he writes or when he's walking and he thinks of something. It's all based on funny. That's why I'm on the show, because the show is funny and I'm proud of it.
It is funny as hell, Jeff. And thank you for coming on and being so passionate about it. I got you worked up. You're fired up, aren't you? You get intense about that.
That stuff, people ask me, am I going to have to change my comedy? No.
Yeah.
I know as a man, I will go on stage when I do stand up and say something stupid. I'm a man.
Sure.
It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm not going to say? Something ignorant. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say anything ignorant. No, sir, Reebok. So and this will not come back to haunt me. I've said this for years. There's no ignorant thoughts in my mind. There are inappropriate thoughts, i.e. that only another comedian would laugh at, but there are no ignorant thoughts. But I'm a man, so I'm stupid.
Question seven, Jeff. Four questions left. Let's go finish with a flourish. This is always my favorite category. This category is called Finish the Lyric. Jeff, I'm going to play you a piece of popular music. You're going to hear the vocalist doing his or her thing. It's going to stop on a dime. And you, my friend, need to pick up the lyrics from where they leave off. Are you ready?
Yes, as I'll ever be. The odds are I won't get this, especially if it's current popular music.
I think it's going to be wheelhouse. You're 5 out of 6. You've already passed numerous contestants. We're not even done. But this is the category people are measured by. Jeff Garlin, finish this lyric.
Hard time missing you. I have a hard time missing. And by the way, ironically, and I'm not making this up, I got an email yesterday from Kevin Cronin.
Yeah, that's your buddy. Yeah. I know your buddies.
We're not buddies. We're acquaintances. But he wrote me a nice thing. When I know I'm gonna love you forever.
When I love you forever.
And it's all that I want to do. Keep on loving you.
What is it?
Keep on loving you.
He says, keep on loving you. Can we hear it, please?
Ding, ding.
We'll give it to him. He's on that. Give him the right answer.
I could have gone with the next line. I started singing. It's the only thing I wanted to do. But yeah, thank God, by the way. I mean, not that Kevin would be mad at me, but that would be one that I should get.
And you did get it. I'm giving you the point. That is the right answer. And I played that song, of course, because you have some sort of kinship with Kevin Cronin, the lead singer of REO Speedwagon, in which you guys go to Cubs games together, right?
No, we have never gone to a Cubs game together. No.
Hold on. The research says you go to Cubs games with Kevin Cronin. That's not true?
I go with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
I've gone with Tom Morello. I'm trying to think.
Like, all right, we would have played a Killing in the Name of then or something. Wow.
No. Here's the thing with Kevin Cronin. I first met Kevin Cronin probably before I started comedy. I started comedy at 20. I was a security guard at the Hollywood Sportatorium in Florida and the Miami Baseball Stadium and the Orange Bowl. They'd have shows. And one of the shows, it was like a bunch of big acts, and I sat with Kevin Cronin and just had a nice conversation with him, the security guard. Years later, I'm in an airport and he recognizes me, and I tell him, and he remembered, he wasn't bullshitting us having a conversation because he was a Curb fan. And then we've used his music numerous times on the Goldbergs. So he reached out to me, and then I wrote him back, and I'm unorganized, but I just got my letter from him back, a lovely note.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's got an autobiography coming out, and he wanted to ask me about that stuff.
Okay. I mean, you go to this incredible with these other celebrities and public figures of the game, but not him. Let the record show.
People, I mean, I've gone with a lot of, you know, I sat with once at a Cubs game, the World Series, one of my greatest thrills in my life.
Which one?
Andre Dawson.
The Hawk?
I sat with the Hawk at the World Series. That's all I'm saying. Yep.
Oh, that's badass. I thought you were going to say Eddie Vedder.
No, actually, I've never met Eddie Vedder. I know he's a Cubs fan. I do think if there was a Cub quiz, I would destroy him.
The Hawk, right field, number 8, absolute legend.
The best.
So when you and Conan O'Brien were roommates in Wrigleyville.
Boston Red Sox. What's
yes, that? Yes. Yeah. So yeah. You and Conan were living in the 80s together, your roommates in Wrigley, but were you guys just all about like Harry Carey and Sutcliffe and Don Zimmer? Was it that era?
Yes. I was about it. Conan could give a shit.
He's a Red Sox
Conan's fan. Conan's, if anything, he's a Red Sox fan. But my window in our apartment looked down the first base, or no, my porch.
Yeah.
I could look down the third base line all the way to home plate. And it was the first year of lights. The lights would keep me up at night. They'd light up my whole bedroom. But that was not Sutcliffe. That was post Sutcliffe. That was Maddox and
Sandberg.
And Sandberg and Dawson. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they got rid of
Jeff, how did the 2016 winning the whole World Series, how did it change everything as a Cub fan?
Well, the only thing that it changed, I mean, it didn't change anything for me except to bring me pure unadulterated joy. And the only sadness I had was my dad had died, I think a year or two before. And so my dad didn't get to see it. My dad was born in 39. He saw the Cubs get to the World Series versus the Tigers, but he never saw them win. Almost, which I enjoyed sharing with him. So that was it was a mixture of heartbreak and complete joy. But here's where it's changed. The expectations of Cub fans are so not all. And by the way, I would say it's most of the wagon jumpers.
Yeah.
What they do is now they expect the Cubs to be great every year.
Yeah.
And to me, like the next year, we made it to the NL championship versus the Dodgers, I believe, maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, we lost.
Yes.
And we just made it to the NL championship. Pretty awesome. Is anyone keeping track of this?
Yeah.
People were mad.
I know. I remember.
I mean, you're disappointed as a fan always whenever your team loses, but the expectations are so out of whack.
I know.
For the Cubs, but I'm feeling, by the way, I think they have still a good team and I'm still very excited.
They do. I'm excited too. And Jeff, I'm excited about your score. You're 6 out of 7. You've already passed Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins, Pat McAfee, media maven in sports, Bill Simmons, who runs the ring. You passed all these people already.
Bill Simmons. You already passed impressive. Him.
Yeah,
that's
Simmons impressive. Laid an egg. I think he got a 4 or something. Hey, we're going to question 8. We only have 3 questions left. You can get a possible 9. Jeff, your question number 8, your category is fitness. What is America's fittest state? Is it A, Minnesota, B, Vermont, or C, Colorado?
I would say C, Colorado.
We may have history today because C, Colorado is the right answer. It's simple. It was that easy for Jeff. A lot of biking, a lot of hiking. Jeff, I'm bringing this up because you have written and talked for years about your own struggle with weight, about your health concerns, things like that. What do you think people still are misinterpreting or don't understand about obesity in this country?
Okay. Look, there are some people that there's two thoughts, and one has been in the news lately, and that is some people who are heavy are actually in beautiful shape. They have great muscle tone. They're just bigger, men and women. And people got to get off that. It's not about your weight. It's about what are you doing with your weight. The people that are real skinny or just fat, that's a problem. Now, of those people, I don't know what the percentage is where there's a biological problem. I can tell you, I've lost almost 100 pounds.
Congrats.
And it's been, a bit of this, but consistent, even a low amount. And you know how I did it? By feeling my feelings. I sit in a chair and I feel horrible feelings quite often. that I just like, oh, I hate this feeling, but I'm not going to have a cupcake to make the feeling better. That's it. It's the dieting is nonsense. Eating the right foods, great. And I am currently actually eating less of my portions. When I say currently, starting today, my son Duke's birthday. I didn't plan it that way. I had an appointment with my diabetes doctor this morning, and that led me down that path. I'm simplifying, you know, but I have lost weight by simply not eating out of boredom or emotion. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean I've failed. I mean, I haven't failed. It's just a journey, you know? And so the idea that someone doesn't have willpower, the idea that there's something wrong with them, that's wrong. But if you write something funny, I'm happy to have you joke about it if you're funny. You can say anything you want about obesity, yeah, fat people, elephantitis. I don't give a shit as long as it's funny. Most Americans don't realize they're not funny. Leave it to the pros. Don't put it up on your Instagram. You in blackface is not a funny memory. You're fired. You just got fired because you thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. That's all. I get crazy about it. The point is, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of this has made everybody think that they're a star. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm humble when it comes to flying airplanes. By the way, I'm humble with actually being a comedian. I'm supremely confident, but I'm a big bowl of humble. I'm lucky to be where I am and what I'm doing. My talent doesn't guarantee me shit. So I'm humble. I appreciate it, but it's all confidence.
Well, nothing to be humble about here. 7 out of 8. We got to wrap up with 2 more questions. We'll be done. You've already passed Aaron Rodgers. You've passed Scott Stapp from Creed.
I'm 7-1?
You're 7-1. It's really good.
Oh, that's all right. Great.
Jeff, I don't know if everybody knows this about you.
Me.
I know.
No,
and just
hold
wait.
On. Let me enjoy
Take
it.
Take a moment. Take
that's
a moment.
That's great. Wow. Yeah, Daddy-O, let's go.
All right. Question number 9, science fiction.
Okay.
Jeff, you are in Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
I don't think
that's very well known.
Well, I'm on screen for maybe a tenth of a second.
But you
I was
are
in makeup
it.
For hours, yes.
All right.
I'm a creature, by the way.
Well, that's the question.
If you want to see the picture, it's up on my Instagram page, the picture.
In Star Wars Episode 9, you play Jun Gobint. That is your character's name.
Okay.
What species is Jun Gobint?
Oh, come on, man.
No.
You're basically saying, no, here's what you're saying to me. I'll just do this. Alien species. That's all I know. I don't know. Is it gunga 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 gunga? Like, what do you expect me to know? I don't even know my character's name. I was scanned for a toy.
Yes.
But I don't know if that'll happen.
Are you telling, Jeff, you had a flight all the way to London. You had 4 hours in makeup. You couldn't do a little bit of background search about your character and what species they are? You don't know this stuff?
I had no lines. I had no purpose there except as JJ's friend.
There are no small roles, my friend.
I made the other actors laugh. I did a lot of bits that day.
Listen, the answer is not alien. You are something called a mithral, M-Y-T-H-R-O-L. It's an amphibious species.
Okay. Let me also say that that's the first time that I'm hearing that information.
Oh, is that true? Well, like Chewbacca was a Wookiee. You were a mithral. You're in the Star Wars canon. The fans know you. They know your character. A mithral. That's it.
I'm honored.
Why are you in Star Wars for half a second in an alien costume?
Okay.
Why did you do that?
Okay. Well, you'd have to, by the way, I anticipated maybe a couple seconds.
Or a line.
I was hopeful. I was hopeful for, now I knew there was going to be no line. I thought maybe 3 seconds. I thought at worst 1 second. When I say it's less than a second, I'm not exaggerating. My boys were with me at the premiere. I knew when it was coming and they didn't see it. I said, look, and they didn't even see it. It's that quick. I have not talked to JJ in a while. You'd have to ask JJ. My former assistant went to work for JJ.
Okay.
And over the years, she has become a big producer. She produced the movie and JJ directed it. So I went to go spend time with my friends in London. Great fun. And I have some other friends there. And that's why I did it. And I was in the makeup chair all day with an Academy Award winning makeup artist. Okay. It was very, who's beautiful, by the way. It was very fun. I had a ball.
You did? But
yeah.
Well, are you like a big Star Wars fan? Did you grow up as a fanboy like I did?
I'm more of a Star Trek guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of... by the way, I enjoy all the movies. But am I a fanatic? No, I'm not. My favorite one is probably Empire Strikes Back.
Sure. So if someone listens to this, Jeff, and they want to see your half second on screen,
I've seen
can you direct
all of
them to where it is? Where in the movie are you?
It's where... It's towards the last third where... We're on the planet where the thing is parked, and they say they're going to go after one of the characters.
Kylo Ren or some of the Emperor.
No. The young lady.
Oh, yeah,
they're going
Rey.
To rescue. They're going to rescue. It's John Bodega?
Yeah, sure. Boyega. Yeah. Not a bodega. Boyega. That's a place that sells cigarettes in New York.
In New York, yeah. John Boyega and what's the other gentleman's name who I love?
Oscar Isaac.
So, by the way, I know them from before. Yeah. Okay. So I had just so much fun. First off, when I walked down the set and I'm this full-on green alien.
Yeah, you're a mithril.
What am I again?
A mithril.
I'm yellow and blue, actually.
Okay.
Anyhow, they both were like, we know him. Who is that? We know him. And I kept my mouth shut because I knew all I have to do is talk. And I said, hey, fellas. And they both went, it's Garland.
Oh, they laughed. Gosh. They knew?
Yeah. And then I did a fake scene about making pancakes and building a puppet theater. But the truth is, which they sent to the head of the studio and said, this is what we're shooting. But that being said, I didn't expect anything except joy. And I got it. Like being
Incredible.
Here.
Incredible. All right. Last question. Yeah. Jeff,
okay,
you're at 7 out of 9. You can finish with a really strong 8, which would tie Patton Oswalt. The last question is always an essay, okay? Question 10 is the essay, which means I'm going to give you a take that you have said before, an opinion that you've stated, and you have the floor open to defend that opinion and convince me you're right. If I'm convinced, if I'm moved, I give you the point. If not, you finish with a 7 out of 10.
Oh,
are you
I
ready?
Love this one.
Here
this
we go.
This is the complete opposite of the last question.
Yes, this like is an this. Essay. Jeff, this is where you live, okay?
Okay.
Question number 10, your essay topic, something you've said before. Larry David would be a terrible head coach of the New York Jets.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Defend the take.
Do I have to defend that? Don't you assume that?
Maybe they need something different. Maybe they need a different thinker.
Well, if they need entertainment, he'd be great to watch on the sidelines. And I'd love to have him throw his shit down on the ground and stomp and argue with the refs. I think he'd do all that very well.
Yes.
But come on, man. I have so much respect for a head football coach. That is a job that I don't even want. And I mean, I love football. I love strategizing football. I would not want that job. That job is basically saying for most of my life, I am not going to be near my family.
Right.
I'm going to be sleeping in my office. I'm going to be organizing plays. He'd like the organizing of the plays. Mm-hmm. I know that. But all the work. And by the way, this is Larry David. I'm in awe of him every day. We do 12-hour days. And at the end of the day, I kind of act goofy to keep his spirit up.
Yeah.
But the dude does it. He does it. But in terms of as a football coach, that is just too much. He would probably quit. And I'm being honest.
Go on.
Let's say the Jets hire him. He would probably quit. Well before training camp. He would never get
at
to
OTAs.
Training camp. Yeah. He would just go, too much. I need to play golf. He loves playing golf too. All right, that's even my bottom line. The dude loves to play golf. He plays golf every Saturday. And he is not missing golf for the NFL. Not going
to
happen.
I would just hope he wouldn't quit until we get just hold on until we get to one Jets-Patriots game so we can see David versus Belichick.
No. It would never get to training camp. It would never get that far. He would quit before then. I'm telling you, because I saw him go on stage. He'd look out at the audience and just go, not tonight, and walk off. I saw it. Everyone's heard about it. The comedians that were in New York in the 80s and the late 70s saw that in action. Mm-hmm. I saw that at Catch a Rising Star in New York. It was, I mean, but I also was disappointed because I love his stand-up. But no. And if that's all it took for him to walk off from that, and he quit Saturday Night Live before. He's quit out. No, he would not even make it to training camp. There's my essay.
And you got the point, Jeff. Absolutely awesome. Out of 10. You have finished the 10 questions with a great score. Jeff Garland, how do you feel about your score?
Well, I tied Patton Oswalt. That's very impressive.
Yes, better than Brett Favre, better than Tim Robbins, all kinds of people.
Well, Tim Robbins is impressive. Brett Favre, not very impressive. Would anyone expect him to? Bill, whatchamacallit, was
Simmons.
A disappointment. Simmons. Yes. That's surprising. But, you know, come on.
All right, well, last order of business. Everybody does it here, Jeff. Before you leave, you have to do a call out, meaning you think of somebody, a public figure that you know or have some connection with, and you look at the camera and you challenge them to come on 10 questions and try to compete with your 8 out of 10. Who do you think would do well in this atmosphere? And is it the guy you said wouldn't be a good coach of the Jets?
You know what? He would do this. I'm going to tell him I had fun. So
thank you,
Larry David. I don't challenge you. I'm a supportive friend, but I'm telling you, I had a great time doing this. So I think that after we're done with the show, it's something you could do on the Zoom in your office. And he has an assistant to show him how to set up Zoom. So he'd be good. I think he'd be good. I'm going to tell him that he should do it because I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Awesome. Larry, we'd love to have you. Jeff, this has been a treat. All of these other contestants that you outdid, you put each and every one of them in the puppet section.
Has anyone gotten a 10?
And I couldn't be more impressed. No one's gotten a 10. We've had a Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback, and Alex Smith, the other quarterback, got a 9 out of 10, but no 10s. You got an 8.
I wish the Bears would sign him.
I know. Alex Smith, right?
Alex Smith. Oh, my God. Because at least he's fun to root for.
I know.
You know what I mean? That's the bottom line. It's like, all right, maybe he's not great, but he's good. And he's so fun to root for. You want the guy.
So
one
awesome.
More season, Alex. Come on. That's my opinion.
Jeff Garland lived up to all the hype. He started right out of the gates with Macho Man stories. He finished with incredible stories from Catch a Rising Star. 8 out of 10. You are the best, Jeff Garland. Thank you so much.
Well, Kyle, it was nothing but an honor and a joy.
Ten Questions with Kyle Brandt is a co-production by Spotify and The Ringer. The show is produced by Richie Bozek, Jason Gallagher, Noah Malale, Steve Allman, Jackson Safan, and Arjuna Ramgopal. Our theme song is by Matt Schiltz and Bobby Lord. Additional sound design by Bobby Lord.